We've been doing a series on servant stories that Jesus tells in the Gospels, and today I'd like to focus on one that's known as the story of the wedding banquet or the parable of the Great Supper. It comes from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, from the first 10 verses. Jesus responded again by speaking in parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for his son. He sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding party, but they didn't want to come. Again, he sent out other servants and said to them, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, the meal's prepared. I butchered the oxen and the fatted cattle. Everything's ready. Come to the wedding party.' But they paid no attention and went away, some to their fields, others to their businesses. The rest of them grabbed their servants, abused them, and killed them. The king was angry. He sent his soldiers to destroy those murderers and set their city on fire. And then he said to his servants, 'The wedding party is prepared, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Therefore, go into the roads on the edge of town and invite everybody you find to the wedding party.' Then those servants went to the roads and gathered everybody they found, both evil and good, and the wedding party was full of guests." Jesus doesn't do a whole lot of interpreting of this scripture, which leaves it up to us to figure out how it relates to our lives. And so what I thought we'd do is spend a couple of minutes talking about how this scripture might relate to us and the way that we live. I'll admit that as I started preparing for this sermon, one of the things I do is read the scripture over a number of times. And as I was doing that with this story, there was a song that kept coming to mind. And you know how sometimes you get a song in your head and you just can't get it out? That's been the way my week has been going. You've probably seen Beauty and the Beast, right? Do you know the song? Can you think, guess which one it is that I had going through my head? You know the song, Be Our Guest? I just couldn't get that out of my head. Sung by the Candlestick, right? Lumiere, be our guest, be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Cherie, and we'll provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvres, why we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. Pastor Rick was actually in Disney 2 weeks ago, and he said if you go to the restaurant there, they actually have on the menu gray stuff. And sure enough, it is delicious. Do you remember the last time you were invited to something? Do you remember the last time you took up somebody on an invitation to do something? Was it to a lunch? Was it to a supper? Was it to a wedding? Do you remember how it felt to be invited to something? Last night I was at a Chamber of Commerce banquet, and I remember being invited to that. I was, on the one hand, a little bit nervous. I was asked to do the invocation. And I was worried, would I dress right? Would I know people there? Would I do a good job with the invocation? On the other hand, though, mostly what I was excited. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding party for his son. Whenever I hear a parable about a king that Jesus tells, it brings to mind for me God. I assume that Jesus is probably trying to show us something here about God. And here the king prepares a wedding party for his son. Now, I've been a part of enough weddings to know that they're a lot of work and they're really expensive. You've got to go into the dress and the invitations and the rings and the flowers and the photographer and the reception and the DJ and the honeymoon. There is actually a website, weddingcosts.com, that estimates the average cost of weddings right now. I checked this out on Thursday in America. You know what they say the average cost of a wedding in America is right now? $25,200. $25,200. The next wedding that I'm doing in 3 weeks is for a couple who used to live here in the Xenia area. Now they live down in the Athens area. Their family's in this area, so they want to get married around here. She's actually from Moldova, which is a country just outside of the Ukraine. They've been driving back and forth from Athens to meet with me, and you got to wonder, why? Why would they do that? When you ask them, you know what they say? Because our family is that important to us. We love our family. Why would a king do this kind of work, that kind of expense for his son? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Because he loves his kid. Do you hear the good news in that? Do you believe God is like that? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God wants the very best for you? Do you believe that God wants to offer you more peace, more love, more grace than we could ever even imagine? When the weather outside is as bad as it is right now, it's easier to believe that the world is a dangerous, slippery place where it's better just to hunker down and stay away from it all. And so it really takes faith, doesn't it, to believe that God wants something more for us. It takes faith to believe that God is different. He sent his servants out and called those who were invited to the wedding party, but they didn't come. Now, I am absolutely sure Matthew was writing to a mostly Jewish audience, that when people in Jesus' day would have heard this, they would have thought about some of the Old Testament leaders like Moses and Abraham and Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the message would have been that they didn't listen to those prophets, and that was part of the message. But for me, in Xenia in 2015, I take this a little bit more personally. Have you ever thrown a party and not had people show up? Have you ever prepared for a Sunday school lesson and not had a lot of kids there? Or prepared for something at church and then about half the number of people that you expect come? Or have you ever put together a party and folks don't show up? I take this story then even more personally, and it makes me wonder, how many times have I rejected God? How many times has God been offering something to me and I just either didn't see it or didn't take God up on the invitation? The week before last, Dawn and I went to New York City for a quick trip. We drove in on Thursday, we were there on Friday, and then we drove back on Saturday. So most of the time we spent on the road. We went with her sister and brother-in-law. And one of the things that we saw a fair amount of on the road were FedEx trucks. You know their logo, right? He pointed out something to me. Have you ever noticed the arrow in the FedEx logo? Have you seen this before? He pointed it out, and I, for the life of me, couldn't see the logo in there. Let's try this one. I've highlighted the arrow. Can you see the arrow now? Can you see the arrow there? After that was pointed out to me, now I can't not see it in the FedEx logo. Every time I see the FedEx logo, what do my eyes go to immediately? I go to the arrow that's right there. It's pointing that way. Can you see it? It makes me wonder how many other things I'm not seeing. How many other things are out there that God is offering and I just don't see them. The other sensation that's out there on the internet right now, have you seen this one? Have you seen the dress? What color do you see? I see white and gold. Isn't that a white and gold dress? Have you heard the story about this? They say that it's actually blue and black. That this dress is blue and black. I don't see it, quite frankly. It worries me. It makes me wonder what other things I'm missing. In the parable, nobody showed up. Maybe they just didn't see what's going on. Maybe they had more important things to do. Maybe they were afraid that if they showed up, they'd have to dance, and they didn't know how to dance, and they didn't want to be embarrassed, and so maybe they didn't show up for that reason. So he sent out his servants to the outside of town to get anybody that they could find to come to the party and invite everybody you can find to the wedding party. Here's a basic understanding of the kingdom of God and therefore a goal of the church. Everybody is welcome. Nobody should be excluded from the kingdom of God. Do you hear the good news in that? That means you're invited. Especially if you feel unworthy, if you feel like you're not among the elite, you're invited. If you've ever felt like one of those who's living on the edge, do you hear the good news in this? You're invited. If you've ever felt like you're not among the privileged chosen, here's the good news. You're invited. God wants you at the party. Question is, will you accept the invitation? If you haven't accepted the invitation, here's a chance to say yes to God. Or if you've been sitting back and being more of a spectator, here's the invitation to get more involved in the work of the kingdom. A great example of this, I think, is a guy named William Booth. Have you heard the story of William Booth before? He was a Methodist missionary who was working in London in the late 1800s during the time of the Boer War. Actually, I think it was the Second Boer War. And because there was a war going on, supplies were getting kind of low. A lot of people didn't have enough food to get by, and so they had to decide how they were going to ration out the little bit of food that they still had left. They found that there were people from a lot of different church traditions, a lot of different denominations in their group, and so they decided, how about if each one of us takes care of our own? We'll each take care of distributing food to our own group. So the Episcopal rector stood up and he said, who belong to my denomination, who is Episcopalian, follow me. And then a Presbyterian stood up and said, all of you who are Presbyterians, come with me. And all the other denominations followed suit. And then William Booth stood up. I like it when we Methodists get it right. And he said, all of you who have nobody else, come and join me. You know it was born that day? You know the story, right? You know it was born that day? No? The Salvation Army. That was the beginning of the Salvation Army. It's a tradition that goes way back to Wesley. Wesley believed that we needed to get the gospel outside of the walls of the church, and so he went out into fields and street corners and started sharing the gospel. He believed that the world is our parish, that God's grace needed to be offered to everybody. The story ends by Jesus saying, many are invited, but few are chosen. Which brings me to my last thought. Where are you in the story? If there's a king, do you identify more with the one who's throwing the party? There's also those who are too busy to come to the party. Do you identify more with those who didn't show up? There are those who are at the party. Do you identify more with them? Or there are the servants. What were the servants doing in this story? They were inviting people, weren't they? They were inviting the guests to come into the wedding banquet. Now, we're doing a series on servants and servant stories, and so it probably isn't going to be surprising to you that I'm going to suggest that we think about what it would mean for us to be the servants in this story. What do servants do in this story? They invite, right? Think of ways that you can be inviting people into the work of the kingdom, and specifically to be a part of what we do here on Sunday mornings. In your bulletin, there is a specific way of doing that. There's an insert that has three lines on it. I'd like to encourage you to think of three people that you might be inviting. We got a big party coming up. Actually, it's the first week in April. You know what happens the first week of April? Easter. We're going to throw a party. Consider three people that you might invite to that party. Please be praying for them. In another couple weeks, we're going to have postcards that we can give you. We're going to drop mail them to everybody in town, but we're also going to give you a couple. Think of ways that you can use that as a tangible way of inviting folks that might be on this list to join you. Even though the weather's been pretty bad for the last couple weeks, we still have people who are visiting. Keep your eyes open for those folks. When you see somebody who looks confused, like they don't know their way around, offer to show them the way around. Offer them the opportunity to be a friend for them. Another thing that I do is I always park on the back side of the parking lot. Why? Because folks tend to like the nearer parking spaces, and so this gives them a chance to have the better parking spaces. I've also noticed on Sunday mornings that people tend to like the back rows of chairs better. Think about sitting towards the front. That gives the folks who are new here a chance. And here I'll go really out on a limb. If you come to the Common Cup meal, you know what most people rush to first? The desserts. Think about waiting till later to get your desserts so that the folks who are new and don't know yet to rush to the desserts first can get an opportunity too. The last verse of the song, Be Our Guest, from Beauty and the Beast, the candlestick sings this. He says, life is so unnerving when a servant who's not serving, he's not whole without a soul to wait upon. Ah, those good old days when we were useful. Suddenly the good old days are gone. 10 years and we've been rusting, needing so much more than dusting, needing exercise, a chance to use our skills. Most day we just lay around the castle, flabby, fat, and lazy. You walked in and ups-a-daisy. This week I'd like for you to look into the very heart of God and ask the question, what was God thinking? Look for ways that God is opening his heart to you by giving his love away and inviting you to the banquet. We're in the season of Lent, so it's a good time to take a good, hard, honest look at yourself. I'd encourage you to look at ways that you're turning away from God's invitation. You can't say yes to everything, but if you're saying no to God, that's probably not a good sign. And I'd like to encourage you to look for ways that you can serve the Lord by offering someone else the invitation to the banquet. We all know that the church is not the kingdom of God, but it's a pretty good start. Next week, we're going to continue this series of looking at servant parables with another of the great servant parables, the parable of the talents. Do you know that one? Some are given more, some are given less. The question is, what do you do with what you're given?